Ready?
I was born ready.
I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torti Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark, gothic Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torti Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torti Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be too much for Tim.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torti Show.
Yes, it is. What is going on, everybody? Joe Torti here with you, 97.5, the Fanatic, hot on the heels of the crossover show with Devon Givens. It's one of my favorite hours of the week. Really enjoy hanging out with Devon. Tyler Zuli producing, doing a great job as he does. I wanted to change gears just a little bit here because we've been talking about Sixers. The conversation's been great. I've enjoyed talking about basketball as well. And one of the callers near the end of the show talked about Markelle Fultz and, you know, making more money than most people do coming out of college and things like that. And it actually was not a planted call, but it was kind of a perfect segue into something that I wanted to talk about, because over the course of the last couple of days, this conversation's really heated up, and it's, you know, been the fire on the lukewarm stove. Simple question: does Major League Baseball have a problem? Let me tell you, full disclosure, I really, really don't like Major League Baseball. Joe, what are you talking about? It's a travesty. It's not that I don't like baseball. Baseball is fine. I don't like Major League Baseball. And by that, I mean, I look at around the league, the average payroll is $121 million. But there are 12 teams spending less than $100 million on their roster. The Rangers, the Tigers, the Twins, the White Sox, the Royals, the Athletics, the Orioles, the Blue Jays, the Padres, the Marlins, the Pirates, and the Rays. Less than $100 million. Those last six teams, Baltimore, Toronto, San Diego, Miami, Pittsburgh, and Tampa, are spending less than $80 million. None of these teams, none of those 12 teams care about winning. They might say that they do, but they don't. And therein lies the problem for me. And Justin Verlander pointed this exact problem out earlier when he was talking about a serious issue that exists with baseball, with teams not trying to win games. And he's got my vote 100% on this. But he said something else that I thought was incredibly interesting, talking about the issues that he has with, in particular, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado not being signed. And I thought it was interesting that he brought it up because he talked about the system being broken. This is what he tweeted out. He said 100 or so free agents left unsigned. The system's broken. They blame rebuilding, but that's BS. You're telling me you couldn't sign Bryce or Manny for 10 years and go from there? Seems like a good place to start a rebuild to me. 26 to 36 is a great performance window, too. This is where Justin Verlander and I part ways, and I don't think that Verlander could be more wrong on this. For more on this conversation, John Clark of NBC Sports Philadelphia was discussing things of a similar vein with Pat Neshek, and this is what it sounded like.
I think we signed a bad CBA, personally. But you know, there's also a respect factor. And when there's a little bit of disrespect, you know, when revenues are going up and the portion that's being paid to the players is consistently declining, there's going to be an issue. And I don't know if I'll be around after 2021, but I think it's going to get pretty ugly. Where, you know, the smart front offices, a lot of those guys might not have jobs anymore. Because we're not going to baseball.
And there it is. Look, I'm not anti-athlete. I've never been anti-athlete. And people always try to shoehorn you into a conversation of why would you side with billionaires over millionaires. And I that's not the way that I look at it. The way that I look at it is if you're a fan of the Phillies, you know, you're a fan of the Phillies. You're not necessarily a fan of John Middleton. And you're not necessarily always going to look out for Chase Utley's best interests relative to the Phillies' best interests. You always want what's best for the Phillies. So for Pat Neshek to come out and say that there will be no baseball and these smart front office guys will be out of jobs because there won't be any players, it's just not true. That's just patently false, and it's patently untrue. Because here's the thing. There are the crazy, crazy athletes out there, right, that make baseball great. But teams have been surviving as it is. 12 of them with payrolls under $100 million. They've been surviving, not trying to win, period, to begin with. So you're assuming that there's this need to have good players in baseball when clearly that hasn't been the case. And there will be players, whether you like it or not, that are going to come in and take a measly four-year deal worth $30 million. They're going to end up being that way. That's the best part about being in a capitalist country, honestly, is that you can work on and negotiate your own worth on both sides of it. If you're an employer, you decide what the job's worth. If you're an employee, you decide what your labor's worth. You go back and forth, you negotiate and go from there. And that's exactly what's happening here with these contracts. Bryce Harper and Manny Machado and all of these other guys can say that they're worth 10 years and $350 million or however much money they want to say. And the teams can say, not to us. Go peddle your wares somewhere else and see what you can get. And that's been what's happening, maybe. Unless there's just the whole, you know, we want to skip workouts and spring training and stuff like that. Let's go down the list of the big-time free agent class from a couple years ago. And I'm not going to read down this whole list, but trust me, the names don't get a whole lot better and the deals don't get a whole lot better either. David Price, 7 years, $217 million. Probably the only one on this list that worked out because he contributed to a title. But that's the only reason. Zach Greinke, 6 years, $206.5 million. Jason Hayward, 8 years, $184 million. Chris Davis, 7 years, $161 million. There's a lot like this. There's 13 big-time free agent deals. I'm talking like at least $70 million in at least 3 years. One of them, David Price, is one the team doesn't wish that they could have back. And that's a maybe. That's still a lot of money and a lot of years for David Price. So I guess the question that I have here is, as we head into this tonight, 610-632-0975, is do you agree with Justin Verlander and Pat Neshek that there's a big-time problem? We're going to hear from Evan Longoria in just a little bit, too, and see what he had to say about this a couple weeks ago. I just don't. I don't agree. I think that this idea that, you know, something's totally wrong because these teams aren't being made to make these mega deals. I think that there's something inherently wrong about that, about making teams make decisions when they haven't been doing it anyway. Why is it different now? Especially when these teams can come back and be like, well, look at all these other mega deals that happened. None of them worked. We're just not going to do that again. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice. You know how it goes. Where do you come down on this? I'm curious about it because I want to know where you come down on the big contracts. In baseball, across sports, we're going to have a little bit of fun with this because I think that it's something that is continually coming up, compensation for athletes and what's fair and what's not fair. Let's go to Drew in Westchester next on the Fanatic. Hey, Drew, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Joe? How are you tonight?
Doing great, thank you.
Good, man. Yeah, no, I think you see this disparity amongst all sports, really. You know, these big contracts, and with football, I mean, that's the only sport, I think, where it's not guaranteed, right?
I believe that is the case, yep.
So, I mean, you see where a lot of times where you sign these guys to these big contracts in basketball and baseball or whatnot, and yeah, you get a couple of years out of them, but then, you know, they fizzle off towards the end. I mean, we saw that happen with the Phillies, with Ryan Howard.
Yeah, his bad deal started after his injury.
Okay.
You know, you know what I mean? Like, no, but it's to your point. They signed him to that big-time deal, and the extension was going to kick in, and then he blew out his Achilles, and then they were like, oh, okay, now we have to start paying you this mega deal. Teams just are wising up. They're not going to do that anymore. So the question is, Drew, do you think that's a problem?
I think it's a problem in the fact that you know, you are going to have these guys who are going to be hesitant to sign these contracts, and I think that's why we're still waiting on Harper and Machado so much, is because they want that long-term deal. And the fact that they, you know, that injuries or just poor performance or whatever happens, you know, the aging aspect of playing in professional sports, that they, they want to sign these big deals and why they can and why they're young.
Sure. I mean, I 100% get Drew. Thanks for the phone call, man. Way to lead it off. I 100% understand the motivation between players looking for as much money and as much term as they could possibly get. I 100% get that. But I can't decide that I'm a good sports talk radio host, therefore my salary should be $7 million a year, and then be upset when no one is willing to pay me $7 million a year because I'm a good radio host. The market is what the market is. And that's where I think the problem lies with it. Do I think that there's a problem in Major League Baseball teams not trying to win? Yeah, I do. I think it's lame that there's about half the league that actually doesn't care about winning anything. I think that's totally lame. But on the flip side, is the answer making those teams go and spend? When history indicates that that's not the smartest thing to do for the team? 610-632-0975. Where do you come down on this? It is the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Weekday 6 to 10 on 97.5 The Fanatic.
I don't feel the love today. I wish I did. But I watched the Sixers last night against the Knicks, and I'm like, this is a scrimmage. And at times it looked like the Sixers were treating it as such. At other times it didn't, with Joel Embiid diving into the stands. But in all honesty, it just felt like after that Celtics game, why does this game even matter?
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Weekday 6 to 10 on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Attention. If you're in debt to the IRS and frustrated with your options, for a limited time, you can call and quickly check your eligibility for the Fresh Start programs offered by the IRS to reduce or even eliminate your tax problem. Through this special toll-free hotline number, you can find out in minutes if you qualify for these powerful new debt reduction programs green-lighted by the IRS for 2019. If you have unfiled tax returns, under audit, have a wage or bank levy, or just want to know your options, business or personal, Republic Tax Relief's A-plus rated tax relief system has helped thousands stop IRS collections immediately and saved millions in tax debt. These relief programs will not last forever. Call the hotline number now. 800-920-2937. That's 800-920-2937. Check your eligibility for tax debt savings today. Call 800-920-2937. That's 800-920-2937.
Offers on select models with approved credit. 24-month lease on Core Acadia, $2,495 due at signing. 1,500 GM competitive lease figure with qualified event ends 2/28/19. Call 1-800-KERBECK for full details.
It's an executive order. Frank Kerbeck issues presidential savings on over 250 Buicks and GMCs. Reduced up to 33% off MSRP. 0% financing up to 72 months on most Buick models. Lease new 2019 Buick Encore. Just $129 per month. Lease 2019 GMC 7-passenger Acadia, $199 per month. Experience the new Buick GMC. We are professional grade. Buicks and GMCs reduced up to 33% off MSRP. 0% up to 72 months. Buick Encore, $129 a month. GMC Acadia, $199 a month. Get presidential savings now at fckerbeckbuickgmc.com.
Come join us.
Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. Here are a few quick divorce tips that we provide our clients. Number one, don't move out of your house just because your wife tells you to. Remember, that's your house too. And number two, don't blow through the financial statements that you file with the court. These are key exhibits, and they often make or break your case. And number three, watch the social networking. Expect your wife's lawyer to do a thorough online search. And incidentally, this is a two-way street. Now, a bonus tip. Partner with your attorney in assembling evidence. You're one of the two leading experts on your life and marriage. Your attorney needs your input to achieve your goals. By the way, unless you're in Missouri or Illinois, I'm not licensed in your state, but that's okay. Our attorneys in your state are.
Contact Cordell & Cordell, the partner men can count on. Online at CordellCordell.com. Offices in Philadelphia, Radnor, and Allentown, Pennsylvania, and Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Michelle Ferrari, licensed in New Jersey and Pennsylvania.
Philadelphia, welcome to Save Yourself with Geico.
You send a congratulatory text to your newly promoted boss, but autocorrect changes it to something unintended.
Oh, no.
You couldn't save yourself from autocorrect gone horribly wrong, but you could save yourself hundreds by switching your car insurance to Geico.
Yes.
You could save on motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance, too.
Nice.
Plus, the Geico Insurance Agency could help you save on homeowners and renters insurance.
Oh.
While your smartphone's word choice is becoming your biggest problem, you should know Geico. Geico is the second largest auto insurer in the country.
Okay.
Geico even has a 97% customer satisfaction rating.
Ooh.
And has been helping people save money for over 75 years.
Huh.
And now, all you can do is watch the ... response bubble and wait. But you don't have to wait on savings. Your local Geico agent could help you save even more with federal and military discounts.
You couldn't save yourself from autocorrect, but you could save yourself hundreds with Geico online, over the phone, or at your local office.
Hey, you're that famous actress. You must travel so much. What's the best site for hotel deals?
Hilton.com.
No. One with crazy savings.
Hilton.com. With their price match guarantee, if you find a better rate, they match it and take 25% off.
No, one with lots of options.
Hilton.com has 16 top hotel brands. Hampton, Hilton Garden Inn, Waldorf Astoria.
Hilton.com. You should totally do their commercials.
Expect better. Expect Hilton.
You're good.
I know. Thank you.
Applicable terms and conditions at Hilton.com.
This is Ron Jaworski. When is the last time you checked your water heater? It's not something you think about every day, and probably not even on your radar. But if you could avoid a flooded basement or go without hot water for days, you would, right? Go to BradfordWhite.com and go to the Customers tab and click on Homeowners. In that section, there's a Find Your Model and Serial Number tab. You'll see exactly how to determine what kind of shape your water heater is in and if you are due for a replacement. Visit BradfordWhite.com today.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for the only $5 meal worthy of your appetite? Wendy's Giant Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal. Our classic Junior Bacon Cheeseburger is now bigger. With double the fresh never frozen beef and double the applewood smoked bacon, there's nothing junior about it except the price. Wendy's Giant Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal comes with nuggets, fries, and a drink for just $5. Get the $5 Giant Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal at Wendy's. Giant meal, junior price.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time. Fresh beef available in contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
Friends Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville, PA has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. Camping gear, kayaks, hunting apparel, or gifts, all the big names, they have them. Great selection of gun safes in stock, and don't worry about how you're going to move it, they deliver. Friends Creek Outfitters has indoor archery and shooting ranges too. Friends Creek Outfitters, located on Route 23, just west of Phoenixville. Shop them online at FrenchCreekOutfitters.com. Friends Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
The Snow Country Ski Report is brought to you by Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire.
Leif Erickson with the Fanatic Ski Report. Visit Train.com to find a local heating and air conditioning dealer near you. Fresh snow midweek and a nice cool dry day today makes an ideal time to get some runs in before the big holiday weekend. Even with a bit of wet weather tomorrow, weekend looking good for cold temps at night for grooming and snowmaking. Bear Creek 23 runs and 8 tubing chutes with Ski Big Bear 18 runs day and night. Windham in the Catskills got 6 inches of midweek snow for over 40 runs. Gormouth in 10 inches to refill their glades with 80 trails. Whiteface 68 powdery runs. Stratton, Vermont with 78 trails after half a foot of snow.
What good is making more memories if you're the only one who will remember them? Come together at Killington this winter. The more friends, the merrier. Save up to 40% on lift tickets when you purchase in advance at Killington.com.
More at snowcountry.com. Leif Erickson with a 97.5 The Fanatic Ski Report.
Sports Talk for Collegeville and all of Montgomery County.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Tyler Zuli is producing, discussing what's kind of been the talk of baseball over the course of the last several months is that some of the biggest stars in the game who beforehand, right, like this time last year, we were thinking, can you imagine what it's going to be like when Harper and Machado hit free agency? Can you imagine what the feeding frenzy is going to be like? And maybe we should have expected that this would play out this way. Maybe we should have expected the idea that, you know what, this is going to be the new norm until something is mandated to change. Evan Longoria, a few weeks ago, said this. We're less than a month from the start of spring, and once again, some of our game's biggest stars remain unsigned. Such a shame. It seems every day now someone is making up a new analytical tool to devalue players, especially free agents. As fans, why should value for your team even be a consideration? It's not your money. It's money that players have worked their whole lives to get to that level and be deserving of. Bottom line, fans should want the best players and product on the field for their team. I agree with that part. And as players, we need to stand strong for what we believe we are worth and continue to fight for the rights we have fought for time and time again. So I guess that's the question, and that's where the idea comes in. It's like, what are these guys actually worth? I've never been the guy that's like, oh, are these guys getting paid millions of dollars to play a game? No, it's they're providing a service. They're providing a service same as any job. I firmly believe that. Now, it's on a different scale than a lot of jobs. But having said that, look, you look at the housing crisis, you look at the stock markets, you look at the way that the jobs have changed. Think about, for example, and I'm sorry for the truck drivers out there, but I was just listening to a podcast talking about the incoming automation of truck driving as a career and the shrinking job market for truck drivers, which is one of the most common jobs in the United States. Do you think a truck driver now could go into negotiations with a company the same way as they could 25 years ago? Things change. So you can say that it's an analytical approach. You can say whatever it is. You can't just come out and say, I'm worth this because these other guys got paid this much and this is what I'm worth. It's not going to work. You can hold out for that value, but if teams aren't going to pay, you're not worth it. I'm sorry. It might sound harsh, but you're not. I have always thought about this, right? I've always thought, you know, oh, what's something worth? It's the simplest question. What is something worth? What someone is willing to pay for it? Oh, this guy's overpaid. Oh, this watch is too expensive. Oh, that it's worth whatever someone is willing to pay for it is what it's worth. That's the way that markets work. So when I hear these guys talk about how, you know, they should stand firm and fight for 10-year, $300 million deals, go for it. You're well within your rights to value yourself and determine what you want to play for and what value you put on the services that you would provide for a team. But you don't have a whole lot of leverage when there are 12 teams that have under $100 million total payroll coming into this year. And six of those teams have under $80 million in total payroll. You're going to go tell them that you're worth $300 million? How's that going to work? 610-632-0975. Where do you come down on this? This idea that there's a big problem in baseball, I agree. That many teams that aren't trying to win is a big problem. But is the answer forcing them to spend money and make these signings that in recent history have shown, with more information than we've ever had before, that they don't work out that often? That David Price deal only isn't horrible because he helped them win a World Series.
It's still horrible. Right. He did help them get to a World Series and win a World Series, but not in the role that he was facilitated and paid for
right.
to do. He was supposed to be a 200-plus inning guy, and he found a nice little niche in the bullpen. That's not what you don't pay a guy $25 million a year to be a reliever. None of them get it. You pay a guy $25 million a year to be a lockdown starter. He was not that.
Tell me when you stop wincing. Just let me know. Zach Greinke, Jason Hayward, Chris Davis, Justin Upton, 6 years, $132 plus million dollars. Johnny Cueto, Jordan Zimmermann, Jeff Samardzija, Wei-Yin Chen, Mike Leake, Jonas Cespedes, Alex Gordon, Ian Kennedy. When did you stop wincing?
Well, the first one wasn't an issue for me. I had no issue with Greinke getting the money. And the reason that I didn't have any issue with Greinke getting the money was because he was what the Diamondbacks were missing. He was that missing link.
Sorry, I don't mean at the time. I mean now.
Right now.
Yeah.
Not good.
Like looking.
No, yeah. Not good. Yeah. So at the time, I think if you even look at some of them at the time, they're not good. At least Greinke was that missing piece.
Sure.
It was a good fit.
Sure.
Hayward's overpaid. Wei-Yin Chen is a four on the Marlins. shouldn't be paid that way.
Right.
Ian Kennedy had one good year and parlayed it into a ridiculous amount of money. Now, looking back at it, they all kind of stink.
So
not the players, but the contracts.
But isn't it the same idea, right, that if Manny Machado and Bryce Harper end up being useful players, like good players, at that number, can they possibly live up to it from the team's perspective when at least half the league isn't putting up a payroll of, you know, $120 million?
Well, and that's the issue, is they are cornering themselves not only in the market, the payment market, but the amount of production that they have to produce, because you look at them and you're right. Bryce Harper is a career, what, 260 hitter?
Yeah, they're about.
Right about that. People are going to expect him. Your nonchalant, your casual Phillies fans, if the Phillies sign him for big money, oh, he's got to hit 350 or 330,
right,
you know, and 40 home runs. That's not what Bryce Harper does. He's a 260 hitter.
Who hits a lot of home runs.
Which is why I think people hate Carlos Santana so much, because they expected him to come in and hit 300. And he's a career 240 hitter. And now he hit below that. He was only at like 220, but he wasn't that much below that.
So they were right to be mad. But not right
irrationally
the right.
Like the way they were.
Right. So I guess, and this is the unfortunate part of this, right, is that say that there's a stand-up comic that has gotten huge, and the stand-up comic goes to every single, you know, place in the country and is like, in order for me to be at your bar or at your establishment, whatever, I require 95% of the gate. I require 95%. It doesn't matter how good that person is. Eventually, they're going to be like, sorry, stand-up will go on without you. Like, there will be other people to go and tell jokes to drunk people. I guess, with all due respect, and I want to really stress this, I've never been in the, oh, you're just playing a game camp. Okay? That's not the case. I am amazed at Giancarlo Stanton hitting the bombs that he hits, watching Justin Verlander and Mariano Rivera and all these guys over the years, literally jaw-dropping performances. When I say that I don't like Major League Baseball, I don't want people to conflate that with I don't like baseball, because I do. But when you look at it, if Bryce Harper or Manny Machado don't get signed, life will go on. If Justin Verlander or Pat Neshek say the players won't, there just won't be baseball, so there won't be front offices, that's foolish. There have been guys that have been coming in, undrafted free agents, late round draft picks, you know, Rule 5 selections that have come in and made names for themselves and been effective players in some of these small market teams, by the way, who aren't trying to spend big or win, but sometimes in spite of themselves, they run into a good player anyway for no money. There's going to be enough players that are like, oh, what's that? 4 years, $35 million, that's good enough for me to, you know, support my family and set up my financial future and things like that. There's not going to be a case where there's zero baseball players.
No, and maybe the talent drops. Sure, if the best, the cream of the crop say we're not doing this,
right,
that's fine. But as you were describing that Rule 5 player, you literally described Ender Inciarte to a T.
Right.
The center fielder for the Braves, who makes very little money or made very little money, got a contract because of the fact that he finally hit it. He was with Arizona. He had a chance. The Phillies had him for a couple of weeks. They sent him back to Arizona, and now he's in Atlanta, and he's playing well. And that's how teams who have no money win in spite of themselves.
They run into it. So I guess that's what I'm saying here is that, you know, I believe me, it's frustrating to see the Orioles and the Rays, and the Marlins are probably the most frustrating team, right, to watch in Major League Baseball. But that saying that teams not trying to win is a problem, that's true. But making teams sign these mega deals, I just think that that's dishonest. I just think that there's nothing good that can come from that. And I get if you're Justin Verlander or Pat Neshek or Evan Longoria or whatever, you're like, hey, we've been working our whole lives for this. A lot of people have been working their whole lives to get to a point where they're excellent at their jobs and their job goes away. Yeah, think about how many people get laid off at huge-time newspapers. And you can look down your nose and be like, newspapers. But it was a huge deal to cover baseball for the New York Times 20 years ago. So people work their way up to that, and then all of a sudden, literally, someone comes up to them and says, hey, Johnny, your services are no longer required. Thanks for everything. What do I do now? I don't know, but we don't need you. It's not just baseball. when you see these like big corporate layoffs, is it ever like the entry-level workers who get laid off? Is it ever like the mid-level people? No, it's the fat cats that get laid off. It's the people that are drawing in a lot of money. That's just the way that it works in corporate America. And baseball teams are starting to run things a lot more like a business than a baseball team. If you're just playing a pickup game, you want the best guys, no matter what. I'm picking first, I want the best guy. And then I'm picking, you know, third or whatever, I want the third best guy. That's the way that it works. These teams aren't doing it that way. They're saying, all right, well, either people are watching on TV or they're not. They're either buying merchandise or they're not. And no matter who we have out there, there's still going to be nine innings with three outs apiece. That's the way that teams are looking at it. Is it right? I don't know. But Tyler, where do you come down on the big contract thing?
Well, and I think you and I think you had a show, and I think I may have produced you that night. We had a conversation about how teams in the NFL win with their rookie contract quarterback.
Yes.
And they don't after all these things happen. I think the MLB, despite not having a salary cap and needing to keep under a specific number, they look at that and they go, we're going to win with our small payment guys. Just because that's simply how it's worked. Now, obviously, the Cubs, they were right on the cusp when they won in 2016. All of those guys were right there on about to get paid. They've not won in the last 2 years. Now, the Red Sox are an anomaly because they paid a ton of money for everybody.
Sure. And baseball used to be that way, right? Where
that's why the Yankees were so good.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, you look at the guys who are getting the mega deals now. Believe me, I am all for fighting for what you're worth. I really am. But it's hard for me to stand on the stump for the players when David Price got a $200 million contract and he's a reliever on a World Series team. And that's the best case scenario out of the 13 guys that I listed. Like, I was Mr. Jason Hayward. Like, I thought any team in Major League Baseball should have gotten in on Jason Hayward because he's the high draft pick, redemption story, blah, 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 whatever. And then I saw the deal and I said, no wonder there were no teams in on Jason Hayward. No wonder.
But on the flip side, if you're Jason Hayward, you're not going to, well, you know, I wasn't that good. Maybe you mark it down.
You're going to take it.
You're going to take that money and sign the contract.
And that's how much of that's negotiating? Right? How much of it is somebody came to Jason Hayward and is like, hey, we're going to give you 160. He's like, I want 184 or whatever it is. Or do you think somebody came to him and is like, hey, Jason, we want to make you $185 million play. And he's like, you serious? Okay. I don't know. It's hard for me to fault these teams when there's this long track record of these failed deals. Like the Albert Pujols deal is really, really bad. And Albert Pujols was as safe as it got. And Albert Pujols has actually been an effective player. Still a really, really bad deal for the Angels. And
that Albert Pujols has been good.
Yeah, right.
He's not been great or Albert Pujols great. And that's the problem with the contract.
So, honest question. And maybe I'm wrong on this because people are like, oh, there's a lot of things about Albert Pujols that we didn't know at the time that he signed the contract. Whatever. Is that situation that different from Manny Machado and Bryce Harper where it's like, oh, yeah, this is a guy that you could hitch your wagon to for 10 years?
He was a little older.
A little older.
That's the only thing.
So where was he? He was 30.
I think he was 30.
So 4 years older than these guys. 10-year deal still? I don't know. So when I see it and I see Justin Verlander, by the way, he also tweeted about this. The biggest detriment to our game right now is the non-competitiveness of two-thirds of the league. I think it's why you're seeing free agents not get signed. I'm not sure how I feel about the connection between those two. I think he's right that it's a huge problem that two-thirds of the teams aren't aggressively trying to go out and win. But I don't know if that's why these free agents aren't getting signed. I think the two things can be true and not be connected.
It shouldn't be, because if you take a look at the teams that are in on both of these guys, two of them have been perennially bad over the last couple of years, the Chicago White Sox and the San Diego Padres.
Mm-hmm.
And the Padres are a small market team that generally don't spend a lot of money. Now, the White Sox are a team that can spend money. They have it. They just don't have anything invested past Jose Abreu this year, which is why they're in the conversation.
Right.
And I don't blame them.
And that's a team, by the way, that has spent money in the past. Like, they have been a big, big market.
Yeah, that 05 team had a lot of large contracts.
Sure, absolutely. I don't know. Like, I just think about the deals when they were made. Like, say what you want about the Cespedes deal. Cespedes was, like, incredibly exciting during that run-up to him signing the big-time deal. Like, I think about the run that Yasiel Puig went on before he totally fell off the table. Like, there are a lot of instances that you can point to and say, oh, yeah, that's a guy that you should totally commit to and have it not work out. Look, I'm not unsympathetic to what the players are feeling right now, but from the team's perspective, I see it, and you're kind of at an impasse. Like, this is what negotiations are. You can't strong-arm someone and just be like, not every case is going to go to arbitration. Let me put it that way, right? Like, free agency can't always be arbitrated, where somebody comes in from a third party and says, hey, Oakland, pay this guy X amount of money. That's what he's worth. You have to do it. Like, it's never going
to
happen.
Well, and quite honestly, if you're a team, why would you want to go to arbitration every time? I know you're keeping money in your pocket, but the whole idea of arbitration is, listen, Joe Torti, you went 12-2 last year with a sub-3 ERA, but your BABIP, you know, is not good.
Right.
So exactly. We're going to pay you $2,000 less or $2 million less. You're basically arguing your best player is not your best player.
Right.
It's a convoluted concept that doesn't make any sense.
Finding reasons to cut your own guy down and then be like, oh, yeah, let's play nice afterwards.
Yeah, good luck signing the next deal, too.
I'm telling you, it's not an easy solution, and I don't know what the solution is, but I do think that coming out and just dismissing the idea that these teams are making decisions based on good financial sense and what might be best for the long-term health of the franchise, I think that the players are wrong here. I think the players who have spoken out are wrong, and I don't often say that. When I read these quotes and I read what was going on, I just didn't agree. I think these guys are way off on the way that markets work. Just because David Price got $200 million, that means Manny Machado at age 26 should get $400 million? That's not how it works. Look, whether it's a bad CBA, if you think there should be a salary floor, which, who knows, maybe that'll, you know, make teams want to be better and incentivize teams to go out and take chances on free agents and things like that. I think that there's a gap between there. I refuse to believe that there are no teams that want Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. I don't think that those guys are not getting offers. If you wanted to have a conversation where these guys are getting junk offers, where it's like, hey, why don't you come play for us for 6 years and $100 million, I would consider that a junk offer for those guys. Those aren't the offers that are coming in. The impression that I get is that the mammoth offers that we anticipated are not coming in, and therefore the offers aren't acceptable. And somewhere that has to change.
But 7 and 175 has been a number that I've seen multiple times for both guys.
Is that junk?
No, it's a great deal.
I think so too.
But it's not. You're right. It's not the super. What we would call in the NBA the supermax contract.
Now, here's my question. How much of this is agent-driven versus player-driven?
Yes.
Right? How much of it is an agent saying, my God, is this business drying up? Not drying up like drying up with a capital D, but I've projected my yacht and my private plane and everything like that in 4 years. Am I going to have to push this back because it's getting reset? The best deal that you could have possibly had in the NFL in the early 2000s was to be the agent of a rookie quarterback. That's exactly what you wanted. Because if you got a guy who was in the top five in the draft on a quarterback salary, you were talking about a guy before they put on the rookie salary cap for draft picks. You were talking about making mega millions before a guy even set foot on a field. Like, think about Sam Bradford's contract. Think about Matthew Stafford. Like, those are the guys. Everybody before Cam Newton. Cam Newton was the first number one overall pick guy who was capped. But everybody who was in that 2010 all the way back to 2000, you're making mega money. Now, if the market's resetting, you don't necessarily want to be the agent for the rookie quarterback. You'll take it. Don't get me wrong. It's not going to be bad for you. But it's certainly not getting you the Russell Wilson extension money or the Aaron Rodgers extension money or anything like that. If you're an agent, you really don't want to see things sliding back this way because it affects you too. So you have a vested interest in it. I'm fascinated by how this has played out, and I'm curious as to see how it ultimately does shake out and which sides are taken where. 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli's producing. I'm Joe Torti. Taking you up until midnight right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's back! Minivan Mania! Minivan month is in full swing at the Big B. Gary Barr, Bears number one, Chrysler Land.
Chrysler Land! Chrysler Land! Gary Barr's Chrysler Land!
Minivans, minivans, and more minivans. They are parked bumper to bumper, fender to fender. Your best-built, beautiful 7-passenger, loaded-up Chrysler minivan, a crazy $16,666. You heard me right, your radio's not broken. Get your official tailgate great minivan from a crazy $16,666. And at Barbera, when we say instant credit, come and get it.
Philadelphia's Credit Connection.
I am talking about the mother of all minivans today, the Gary Barbera Minivan Mania Way.
Hey, this is Coach Peterson. For 3 decades, I drive Barbera. Now it's your turn.
At Gary Barbera's number one, Chrysler Land. It's Minivan Mania. Minivans, minivans, and more minivans from a crazy $16,666. Is Barbera the best? Boy, I guess.
The winter nights are long and cold, so come and warm up at Creekside Cabaret, Montgomery County's premier destination for upscale adult entertainment. Come out and watch the pay-per-view fights of the UFC and boxing live at Creekside Cabaret all month long. To see more, check out Creekside Cabaret's online calendar to find out about all of their featured performers and other awesome events, like monthly amateur night featuring a cash prize to the winner. Having a guy's night out? Creekside Cabaret is your bachelor party headquarters with a full bar and VIP bottle service always available. You can even start your night off right with Creekside Cabaret's hotter happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. for great times and great specials, including $2 domestic beers, $3 imports, and $3 mixed drinks. Only at Creekside Cabaret. Open every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 p.m. to 2 a.m. at Montgomery County's only true gentleman's club, 3225 Advance Lane, right off Free 309 in Hatfield. Online at creeksidecabaret.com.
Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. At Cordell & Cordell, we encourage our clients to participate, to recognize how essential their role in this process is. They've got to be willing to help us help them. And by working jointly in a sort of partnership, we're more likely to get the best possible outcome for our clients. And that's really the standard that our clients can fairly hold us to, is what is the best possible outcome for them. So clients who are facing divorce need to recognize that for them to succeed, they need a partnership between them and their attorney. By the way, unless you're in Missouri or Illinois, I'm not licensed in your state, but that's okay. Our attorneys in your state are.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Philadelphia area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 215-490-9999. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in Philadelphia, Radnor, and Allentown, Pennsylvania, and Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Michelle Ferrari, licensed in New Jersey and Pennsylvania.
Attention, if you're in debt to the IRS and frustrated with your options, for a limited time, you can call and quickly check your eligibility for the Fresh Start programs offered by the IRS to reduce or even eliminate your tax problem. Through this special toll-free hotline number, you can find out in minutes if you qualify for these powerful new debt reduction programs green-lighted by the IRS for 2019. If you have unfiled tax returns, under audit, have a wage or bank levy, or just want to know your options, business or personal, Republic Tax Relief's A-plus rated tax relief system has helped thousands stop IRS collections immediately and saved millions in tax debt. These relief programs will not last forever. Call the hotline number now, 800-920-2937. That's 800-920-2937. Check your eligibility for tax debt savings today. Call 800-920-2937. That's 800-920-2937.
Philadelphia, welcome to Save Yourself with Geico.
You casually maneuver to snap a photo of the guy at the restaurant who looks just like that one celebrity from that movie. And
your flash goes off. You couldn't save yourself from the embarrassment of doppelganger guy noticing your paparazzi pic.
Hey.
But you could save yourself hundreds by switching your car insurance to Geico.
Yes.
You could save on motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance, too.
Oh.
Plus, the Geico Insurance Agency could help you save on homeowners and renters insurance.
Okay.
While your flash-happy smartphone has become your biggest problem, you should know Geico is the second largest auto insurer in the country.
Nice.
Geico even offers 24/7 access to licensed agents and the award-winning Geico mobile app.
Ooh.
And while your impromptu photo shoot didn't go as planned, you could plan on saving more, like military and federal discounts, with your local Geico agent.
You couldn't save yourself from the shame of being outed by your camera flash, but you could save yourself hundreds with Geico online, over the phone, or at your local office.
This is Ron Jaworski. When is the last time you checked your water heater? It's not something you think about every day, and probably not even on your radar. But if you could avoid a flooded basement or go without hot water for days, you would, right? Go to BradfordWhite.com and go to the Customers tab and click on Homeowners. In that section, there's a Find Your Model and Serial Number tab. You'll see exactly how to determine what kind of shape your water heater is in and if you are due for a replacement. Visit BradfordWhite.com today.
You don't need snow to have an adult snow day. Just head to eBay. Whether your idea of fun is binging bad TV under a fuzzy blanket in the Northeast, skateboarding barefoot in SoCal, or strapping on crampons and scaling a 10,000-foot Alaskan glacier, eBay can help you turn a free day into a me day. And make the most of your money shopping eBay deals with our best price guarantee, plus free shipping on millions of items. If it's happening on your adult snow day, it's happening on eBay.
Are you or someone you love one of the nearly 1 million Americans living with Parkinson's disease? There is no known cure, but you have the power to help change that by participating in a clinical trial. The Michael J. Fox Foundation will help you get started. Visit MichaelJFox.org/participant pack to download the new Parkinson's Trial Participant Pack. It's free and available right now. That's MichaelJFox.org/participant pack. Visit today.
Yo, we driving, yeah. Uh-huh. We living our best life and my car smells fresh.
Yeah,
but we weren't always thriving. It was you, girl.
I told you so.
Who pointed out that smell?
That's right.
Now it's all fun. The odor's gone. Febreze car works so well. Come on, keep driving. Keep driving. Let's go.
Oh, boy, your car smells
good. Febreze
nice.
Car, yeah, yeah. Let's go.
That's right.
No more odors in my ride now. Let's go.
Want a better truck? Get to Fred Bean's Ford. They sell more trucks because they have more trucks. Over 1,500 new Fords. Save over $11,000 off MSRP on a new 2018 F-150 at Fred Bean's Ford, the largest Ford dealer in the tri-state area. In Boyertown, Langhorne, Doylestown, Westchester, Mechanicsburg, and Newtown. FredBean'sFord.com. Based on 2018 Ford truck sales, stock number F8236SL, MSRP 43695. Includes $3,000 dealer discount, $500 college credit rebate, and $79.97 in conditional rebates. Must qualify. Ends 2/28/19.
All this week, Mike Missanelli will be doing his annual Valentine's Day Love Sex Music Medley. The grand prize winner will receive a pair of tickets to see Billy Joel at Citizens Bank Park May 24th. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. A $150 gift card to Jasper's Backyard in Conshohocken. Visit them online at JaspersBackyard.com. And a chauffeured Rolls Royce for a night courtesy of Imagine Lifestyles Luxury Rentals. For people who are hard to shop for, visit ImagineLifestyles.com. Go to 975thefanatic.com to get more info. Listen, watch, and react. Farzana and Trey are on twitch.tv. Just follow 975 The Fanatic.
Welcome back. Joe Torti Show, 975 The Fanatic. Tyler Zuli is producing. Near the tail end of Devon and my crossover show, we were talking a little bit about Markelle Fultz, and I thought the conversation was kind of fascinating around Markelle Fultz and what the reaction is now. Now that we've had some time to, you know, pull back and let things play out, you know, what the reaction's going to end up being to Markelle Fultz, and not necessarily what his legacy is going to be. I think that we have a pretty clear idea of what his legacy is going to be here in Philadelphia. But, you know, how's he going to be remembered? What's his reception going to be like? And what's the general thought for Markelle Fultz? The reason that I bring this up is because leading up to the trade, there were all of these conversations that callers were having, that people were tweeting in, saying if the Sixers trade Markelle Fultz, it'll be their biggest mistake. This kid's going to end up being a star. What if he comes back and haunts the Sixers? He seems like a good kid. He's the number one pick for a reason. And as the trade got closer and closer, it felt like people could feel it. And so these people, and a lot of you are probably listening right now, were calling and talking about Markelle Fultz and saying that the Sixers should not trade him under any circumstances. And then once he actually got traded, there was this feeling, at least I felt relief, that the situation was over and that, you know, the Sixers and Markelle Fultz could both move on without all of the questions about where's Markelle going to be, and you know, just seeing how the new look Sixers could come together without having that additional pressure of how are you also going to integrate a one-time number one overall selection. And I think that over the course of the hours since the trade happened, initially people were thinking to themselves that, you know, Markelle Fultz seems like a nice guy. You know, you never want to see somebody be injured when they, you know, can't perform or whatever. It's always a bummer to see somebody not work out the way that you hope because of injury. So when he sees the thoracic outlet syndrome diagnosis from the specialist that he went to see, and you know, we were thankful that he finally found an answer, but when Brett Brown said that, you know, he's not going to be available to us, or I don't anticipate that he'll be available to us, and I hope to be pleasantly surprised, I think most of us were ready to turn the page, even without any kind of malice or without any kind of bad feeling. Then comes the comments today on Valentine's Day of all days, with Markelle Fultz talking about, you know, what it's like in Orlando relative to being here in Philadelphia. He was taking questions from reporters about his injury, what excites him about joining the Magic, and his time in Philadelphia. Now, this is what he said, and I'm curious about this because, you know, there were people who just called in and said that he doesn't have TOS. Here's what he said, quote, "It's really hard to describe, hard to explain to people. It's almost like hard to lift up your arms. You lose feeling in your fingers. It's not really like you can tell when it's going to happen. It's not like you can do the same motion every time. You get tingling in your fingers, numbness, stuff like that. It was hard to describe. It's tough because you hear all this stuff about this, that, and the third, but you know something's wrong and you're trying to figure it out. It was just hard to describe to a lot of people. If you've never been through it, you're not going to really know. But if you talk to anybody who has TOS, they're going to tell you it changes your life dramatically." And that's what he said about the injury. Now, I think that, by the way, for the record, if at any point during Markelle Fultz's tenure we would have heard that from Fultz, some people were like, oh, what's wrong with this kid? You know, you might not have heard anything. You might have seen the Sharks back off a little bit. But here's the problem, right? And by the way, Markelle Fultz didn't say this with any kind of malicious tone, or he didn't have any venom for the Sixers or anything like that, but he did take a shot at the team. And this is what he said. It was pretty simple. He said, "I think it excites me to have coaches that you know are going to push you to be better and not just tell you what you want to hear." And Fultz saying that, I thought, changed how he's going to be received here. Because I'm sitting here thinking to myself about, you know, Brett Brown and everything that he went through facing reporters. And by the way, this isn't a poor Brett Brown thing, but just specific to the Markelle Fultz situation. Thinking about how that whole thing played out and how constantly Brett Brown and Elton Brand and company had to field questions about when Fultz would be ready, what's wrong with him, what's going on, do you think that he has the yips, do you think that he has this? And to look at the way that the Sixers handled that, probably not the exact way that I would have handled it. I may have been, depending on what I was allowed to say, I may have been a little bit more transparent. But I don't think overall that the Sixers butchered the situation. I think that being supportive of Markelle Fultz and looking at what was best for him and his personal development and personal growth, I think that that was always a priority for Philadelphia. To see Markelle Fultz with the first opportunity that he has to throw the team under the bus was pretty telling. Jasper Lucas tweeted in, "You're expecting Markelle Fultz to have said what you suggested." And in case you were wondering, at the end of the show, I said that I expected Markelle Fultz to say a couple of things about Philadelphia, right? You know, "I'm thankful for my time there. Thanks to all my coaches and teammates. I'm sorry that it didn't work out there. I'm excited for a fresh start. You know, sometimes you just need, both sides need a fresh start, change of scenery. I'm really excited to get started here in Orlando and go to work." Jasper tweets in, "You're expecting Markelle Fultz to have said what you suggested. He could have said is to assume he's bright enough to think of that. Remember the presser where he just stared at the reporter when he was asked about his shoulder?" It's interesting because, like I said, where was this clear outpouring of stuff about thoracic outlet syndrome when everybody was wondering, well, what in the world's going on with Markelle Fultz? Is it his shoulder? It is a scapular muscle imbalance. Is it all of this? Like, where did it come from? We were just left in the dark. And naturally, just like, you know, when your parents, when you were a kid, didn't tell you what was wrong, your imagination is way worse than whatever the reality could be. There was just no information. There was no clarity. There was no transparency. And I think that that turned a lot of people who wouldn't normally have been against Markelle Fultz against him. But the holdouts, after hearing this, I would think that would push you over the edge.
I don't know what the truly thoracic outlet syndrome entails because I've never had it. I've never even heard of it until Markelle Fultz came along. I also don't know what happened inside the Sixers locker room and in between coaches and players, in between Markelle and players, sure, and whatever. But for a city that eats its own, this city was incredibly nice and incredibly welcoming to Markelle Fultz. And he threw them under the bus.
Every single bucket got a standing ovation. Whether it was a layup, whether it was a floater, leaner, when he even attempted jump shots, people were taking, going crazy in this. And what he said was that he didn't want a situation where everybody just told you what you wanted to hear all the time. Now, if he meant coaching staff, which, you know, obviously that's what he was saying, coaches that are going to push you to be better, not just tell you what you want to hear, extrapolate that to the entire city and the entire situation. What would we have looked like in the national media as Philadelphia fans? What would the story, what would the headline have been if Markelle Fultz comes back looking like he comes back, with the kind of shot that he had, and with the mystery surrounding the circumstances of his injury, if we just crushed him? What would we look like? You could write the story. Up, same old Philadelphia, running stars out of town. What are the coaches supposed to do? Well, how would the coaches have pushed Markelle Fultz to be better? By saying, get your ass on the floor? What is Markelle Fultz saying that the coaching staff had shortcomings? I'm not saying that he's wrong. I'm saying with this particular situation, it's hard for me to see a scenario where Brett Brown could have handled it any differently than he did.
Well, if they said he had shortcomings and they said that they weren't sure what was going on, what exactly did he want to hear? Because he said that they said they told me things that I wanted to hear, and this coaching staff is different in Orlando. What did he want to hear? We don't know. You want to hear? We don't know.
Is he a masochist? Did he want Brett Brown to come out and like question his manhood and tell him that he's got to get out there, that he's got no heart, that he's got the yips, and he's got to get, like, what did you want to hear? I don't understand. I truly don't get what you to push you to be better. You're seeing specialist after specialist after specialist to find this thoracic outlet syndrome, which through the grace of YouTube and WebMD, I now have some clue of what it is. And all of these doctors, which, by the way, doctors aren't perfect. I saw a doctor recently, heard something. It's nothing serious, nothing crazy. But doctor had an opinion, said you should see a specialist. Specialist had literally a completely opposite opinion with regard to the severity of the situation. Doctor was like, you might have something to worry about. Specialist was like, nah, you're good. So don't get me wrong. I know that second opinions and multiple doctors and stuff like that, they don't always agree. But to go through all of the doctors that you did and then, you know, have this TOS thing come up and then be like, the team didn't push me hard enough. The coaches didn't want to push me to be better. Was Brett Brown pushing Markelle Fultz just back onto a Shea lounge, a chaise lounge, and putting a pillow underneath his feet and saying, no, don't worry, Markelle. Just sit back and don't worry about a thing. You're listening to 97.5, the Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, Beasley Media Group station, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. I still haven't changed my mind. As a young guy, I still want him to get everything on track, and I hope that he's healthy. I hope that he ends up, you know, putting everything behind him. But in terms of having, like, goodwill, be like, oh, man, I'm going to be rooting for Markelle Fultz the rest of the way. I mean, that dries up when I read what I read today. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Like, if you're Brett Brown, how do you react to that? You know, when the Sixers play the Magic down the road, if Brett Brown's the head coach and Markelle Fultz is in the lineup, you don't think that Brett Brown is going to just lick his chops at the opportunity to shut Markelle Fultz down? That was an unnecessary bridge burning. You already got out of town. I just didn't like the way that played out. Not a great look. Let's go to Jay in West Philly next on the Fanatic. Good evening, Jay.
Hey, what's going on, Tony? How you feel?
Doing okay. How about you?
Hey, all right. Good. Look, I'm with Markelle on this situation.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I am, because if you listen to what he said, he's really telling the truth if you read between the lines. Do you really think Brett Brown coached Simmons?
Well,
or Embiid? Do you really think he tells them what to do?
Well, so you might be right about that, but what does that have to do with Fultz?
No, because I really don't think he coached. I think he tried to be everybody's friend, because there's no way that Ben Simmons hasn't improved, and then you let Embiid sit there and shoot, take 8 threes.
Well, Jay, I'm not saying that you're wrong. I've heard that Brett Brown, in particular, one of the things that people have an issue with is his treatment of young players and how he's not hard enough on young players and asking them to develop and get better. But I just thought it was interesting. Like, is Markelle Fultz just saying, like, oh, that's how Brett Brown is with these other two guys? Because I'm curious about what his personal experience has been with Brett Brown, where he's like, he's not pushing me to do better. You weren't on the floor.
He probably didn't coach him because he was so worried about Ben. Because I'm telling you, he put all his effort into trying to make Ben a point guard. Markelle is a point guard. But you don't let him get out on the floor and let him make mistakes. But you let Ben sit there and get 11 turnovers in the game and probably don't say nothing to him, don't push him, don't do nothing. There's no way that he shouldn't have got better. He shouldn't at least attempt a jump shot.
No, I'm with you on that, Jay, but I guess the question that I have is was Brett Brown the one holding Markelle Fultz out? Because I think Fultz was the one doing that.
No, I think, like you said, if he had a problem, you put him out there on the floor and let him play.
That's what I'm saying. I'm with you. Jay, thanks for the phone call, man. I think that you, Brett Brown, and me are in agreement. I think the reason that Markelle Fultz wasn't out on the court wasn't Brett Brown. I think it was Markelle Fultz. Now, in the playoffs last year, it's something different. You know, when you're talking about the physicality of everything and the run-up to that. But, I mean, when you're talking about a guy who's injured, look, here's what I've always said. The player is always supposed to push to go. And the coach and the training staff and everybody else is supposed to slow him down. I don't think that's what happened with Markelle Fultz. I really don't. I think when you've got the agent involved, you got the lawyer involved, you got all these other people who are swooping in and saying, all right, well, it's this, so we want to see that, or Markelle Fultz isn't going to be doing any more basketball activities until this happens, and blah, blah, blah. What were the Sixers supposed to do? All right, so the two matchups with the Magic, both in March 5th and March 25th. Good job by Tyler Zuli. I don't know if Markelle Fultz will be back for those games. Doubtful. But, I mean, it's just a bad look. Like, regardless of whether you think Brett Brown's a great coach or not, and regardless of what his experience was like with, you know, Ben Simmons or with Joel Embiid, I just don't know if there's enough of Brett Brown not pushing Markel Fultz to be better. I don't know. I wasn't there. And I've heard that Brett Brown is, you know, accommodating with the younger players, more accommodating than he should be by some people's metrics. I just thought it was a curious thing for Markel Fultz to say in a weird time. Let's go to Lance in Arizona next on The Fanatic. What's happening, Lance?
Hey, Joe. I wanted to make a point on Fultz and then get back to the Celtics game that
sure.
they played.
Yep.
With Fultz, dude, it's always somebody else's fault or some other situation that's not in his control's fault. Like, the kid does not take responsibility for the fact that he hasn't been good. Like, it's either his shooting coach screwed him up, the Sixers screwed him up, his shoulders messed up. Like, at some point in time, I understand he's 20 years old, and when we were all 20 years old, we probably did stuff like that where we blamed it on other people.
Sure.
But at some point, dude, you're making millions of dollars. The onus comes on you to work hard to become a good basketball player.
Well, and that's the weird part, is that, like, later on he talked about what he learned from the Sixers, and he's talking about, you know, how to go about your business, every practice matters. Like, that was like a little blip. Like, the Brett Brown thing was a little blip in something that was largely complimentary of the Sixers, and I just thought it was a weird look. I thought it was a really weird time and place for Markel Fultz to say that.
No offense. I think that kid's just a little bit of a weird kid anyways, just how he comes off. So, and I don't think the group of people that he's associating with is really doing him much favors either. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big problem that he has going on that no one's talking about. But I wanted to get into the Sixers-Celtics.
Sure,
there's two
yeah.
points I wanted to make. The first point is Brett Brown, when they were on that 18-4 run and the Celtics were on the ropes, because they were, that's how they lost the previous two games, is that type of run came up and they just kept pushing it. And Brett Brown decides, I'm going to pull some guys and put some subs in. That is the worst decision you can make at that time, because you were running them off the court and they didn't have any answers. Make Brad Stevens adjust to you. Don't adjust yourself when you're doing well.
Sure, absolutely. I'm with you there, Lance. I thought the same thing.
And then the second point is this. You've lost 7 out of 8 games to the Celtics. And for most of those games, Joel Embiid's playing out on the perimeter. When he was within 10 feet, he was 6 of 12. Outside of 10 feet, he was 3 of 10. And he has 8 three-pointers. You're not going to win that series ever with him playing on the perimeter. So you have to change what you do typically against other teams. And I know he hates going in against Al Horford, but this is my problem. If he establishes himself inside the post early mm-hmm. in that game, that foul at the end of the game, he probably gets it called because he's in there battling it out. But instead, he's staying on the perimeter. So they're saying, well, he's not going inside, so why are we going to give him those calls?
Right.
Because it's just physical. If you establish that early in the game, Al Horford's probably out at some point in that game for a long stretch because he's in foul trouble, and you have a better chance to win. That's an adjustment that they still have not made in 8 games in a row. They're not going to win a series until Joel Embiid starts saying, you know what, I'm going to bully him down low and get him into foul trouble to make my life easier.
Well, Lance, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it as always. I think that's actually where I take a little bit of solace and a little bit of excitement, because I've said it before, I'm not afraid of that matchup in a playoff series anymore. Like, I didn't think the Sixers last year had the horses to run with the Celtics, despite the end of the season run. They're just much better now. Like, when you're talking about the Sixers being front runners in the Eastern Conference, and it's not just us in Philly, people are talking about the Sixers being a potential powerhouse team, regardless of the Bucks and the Raptors and some of the other teams. You know at least that the Sixers belong there. They belong in the conversation, and they don't need, you know, a run near the end of last season against some of, you know, the weaker competition that was left on their schedule in order to get there. I think that you look at it and you think, all right, this is a matchup that could go the Sixers' way, but there are still things that they're going to need to do. There are still things that they're going to need to be able to figure out. And one thing that Brett Brown said was that he was willing to deal with the experimental cost, the cost of experimenting early on in order to find something that really works. So am I. At this point, yeah, I would like to have home court advantage, but at this point, you know who the best teams in the East are. You've got to find a way to beat them. And you got to find a system and a rotation and a scheme that works for those guys. I'm willing to take a couple of weird, uneven games during the now part of the schedule in order to get to your team operating at peak efficiency.
How many, though? How many's too many that when you drop to the 5 seed?
Right.
And then they got to go play 4 road games as opposed to 3 and 4 home games. We know how good they are inside the center. They have the league's best record at home.
It's the truth.
They're a 500 team on the road. That doesn't concern you?
I think that in the playoffs, it does concern me, but to a degree. I think that in the playoffs, talent wins out. And I think that in the playoffs, once, for example, they have not been playing their best basketball on the road. They haven't had the team that they have now for the entire season. It's almost impossible to look and attribute any kind of stats that when the common denominators are T.J. McConnell, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, J.J. Redick, and that's about it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't dismiss it out of hand, but what does Tobias Harris know about the Sixers being 500 away from the Wells Fargo Center? What does Boban know about that? What does Jonathan Simmons know? You know what I mean? Like, a lot of the pieces that they have weren't there when these stats are being established. So I think that we do need to see a little bit more of a sample size without letting the season just out and out get away from you.
Well, and I get that. And you can't play revisionist history. But the problem is, if you're willing to let them do this feeling it out process and they lose a couple of games, and then they're the 5 seed instead of the 4, the 4 seed instead of the 3, you're going to look back on it and you're going to go, well, they should have beaten Atlanta. They should have beaten Cleveland.
Sure.
And you're not going to care who was on the team. You're going to look at the games that they needed to win and should have won against really bad teams as the turning point as to why the Sixers only have 3 home games in the second round.
That's the truth. But eventually, right, no matter what, and granted, home court advantage is big. But eventually, you're going to have to go on the road and win a game. Yeah, it's not a series until somebody wins on the road. You hear that cliche all the time, but it's true. Eventually, you're going to do that. So if you're equipped to do that, if you're better equipped to do that by going through these lumps, then ultimately you end up on top. It's, you know, kind of 6 of 1, half dozen of the other. Do you want to get yourself more home games, or do you want to have yourself in position to where you can feel more confident going on the road?
And it may not even be more home games. It's the selection of home games. Because if you are at home to start the series, you can confidently say, I can see the Sixers being 2-0, up 2 games to none after the first 2 games. If they're on the road, and they even if they split and they go 1-1, you have to look at it and now go, you don't say I'm confident in it. You say they have to do it. Because if they go back to Boston or back to Toronto or back to Milwaukee, tied at 2. That's concerning because 2 of the last 3 games are in those cities.
Sure. I'm with you. I don't get me wrong. Like I said, I'm not signing on the dotted line to just throw away these games. But at some point, you look at it and you have to kind of make a value judgment in terms of what you want to look. I don't think that they're going to lose to these terrible, terrible teams down the stretch. Now, they've already lost some games that they shouldn't have lost, and the Celtics, you know, dropping 7 of 8 to Boston, it is concerning. But I think in order to find the rotation that works, in order to find the deployment of talent that works for Brett Brown and works for the Sixers, unfortunately, you're going to take the lumps one way or the other. Like, you have to find a way to integrate these guys. You're not just going to say, all right, well, we're just going to go with what's worked so far and hope that these other guys can play the roles that these guys who have been shipped out play. Like, you can't have Tobias Harris, right, and be like, all right, well, you're going to have to play the Landry Shamet role. He's like, my game is nothing like Landry Shamet's. We're two different players. Well, sorry, this has been working, and we're going to have to roll that. You know what I mean? Like, the guys just aren't there anymore. You got to find a way to make it happen.
So I guess the question is, are you willing to do that in the games against Orlando and Chicago, and it's closer than what you would expect? You know, it's not a 15-point win. It's a 4-point win. They eke it out. You go, man, they should have won that game bigger. Or are you looking at it and you're going, they've got Milwaukee twice, Golden State, New Orleans still. You're doing it in those games.
It's a worthwhile question to ask. And I'm really glad that I'm not Brett Brown and I have to make those decisions. If it's me, I think that you've got to see what works against those top teams and you know, pad your record with those games that you should have. You can't lose games that, you know, you don't plan on losing. But if you're thinking that, all right, at best I'm probably going to split with, like, the stretch that you just put out there. If I'm going to split that somehow, I might as well learn some stuff. I might as well see what Tobias Harris looks like when Mirotić is pulled out on the perimeter to defend him, and how much space Simmons has. Should we integrate pick and roll a little bit more into our stuff? I think that that's actually, we can learn a lot. I don't know how much you learn against the Clevelands and Chicagos and Atlantas of the world.
No, but you still have to win those games, like you said, yeah. to pad the record.
For sure. I don't know how much experimenting and tinkering I would do in those games. I don't know how many Jimmy Butler point guard minutes would end up in those games. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Fantastic Four tweets in. Great show. Well, thank you. Fultz is an immature young man with issues. The only guy to make people who defended him now want to fire him into the sun. I mean, I don't know if he's the only one, but I mean, literally on the eve of the trade and in the time after, there was a Markelle Fultz fan club calling in and saying that the Sixers were stupid for trading him. I don't know if anyone is on team Markelle Fultz anymore. You can say, oh yeah, I agree with what he said, and I don't think that Brett Brown's a good coach, and here's why. But I don't think that anybody is on team Markelle anymore. Now, that's the unfortunate part. Because I pointed this out. I don't think it had to be that way. I really don't believe that it had to be a scenario where there was animus and, you know, people against people. But here we are. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. On Twitter, it's at Joe Torti at 97.5, the Fanatic. So here's what he said. I had an injury, so I was out there trying to play through that. I never lost confidence. I don't know how that can possibly be true. Just didn't look like a confident player.
You are fake news.
Well done, Tyler. 610-632-0975. Oh, I wanted to ask you about this. Spend a couple minutes on this. I wanted to ask you about the Alliance of American Football. So there were two names that came out today that were linked to the Alliance of American Football. One was Tim Tebow, who said that he was interested in furthering his baseball career so that he was not interested in joining the AAF. Colin Kaepernick was approached by the league to play quarterback and reportedly demanded $20 million in order to play for a team. Bill Polian probably sums this up with the best quote. I don't know what transpired, but he's obviously not playing.
Where do they? I don't think the league has that kind of money.
That's not. So the players, I think, all receive 3-year, $250,000 non-guaranteed contracts. That's what
so
every
it's
player
$250,000 for 3 years.
Every player $250,000 over 3 years. It's not chump change.
No, I mean you can live off it.
Certainly.
But it's not NFL money.
No. And obviously there's going to, I'm almost certain of this, down the line there's going to be a partnership between the league and the NFL. So that there's obviously already things in place where you can void the contract if you get the NFL offer and everything else.
To make it almost like a G League.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. First chance, last chance league kind of thing, where it's like you're either just on the radar or you're trying to hang on. The Associated Press reported that Kaepernick asked for at least $20 million to play. I thought of this before. I used to call minor league baseball games for a now defunct organization. And this league prided itself on being, it was independent baseball, prided itself on being quad A. So it was better than triple A baseball. And their players were ready to go into the minors or the majors immediately. And in reality, it was probably double A to triple A level hitting, and it was single A level pitching. Because if anybody was even close to worth it, who was a pitcher. They were scooped up immediately by a team. The league purported to make itself this big deal, this big time thing. And in my interview, you know, I said, hey, I don't judge you for this or anything like that, but I'm not into like hog chases or like any, if this is going to be like a gimmicks kind of league, I don't judge you for it. It's just not what I'm into. No. It's not that kind of thing. This league then, in my second year, hired a retired basketball player, a retired professional basketball player who hadn't played baseball since high school and said that he wanted to, you know, launch his baseball career. Signs the deal, lands on a team, on the best team, by the way, which happened to be his hometown team. That was just coincidental. And everybody was told to market that this guy was coming to play. And in reality, this guy was never going to leave his hometown. He was going to pitch in a couple of home games, and that was going to be it. It was a total publicity stunt, left me with a totally terrible taste in my mouth. And that's just the way the cookie crumbled. I found myself wondering, self, is Tim Tebow really the best quarterback for the Alliance of American Football? Like, are all of their moves being motivated by trying to put the best product out there and you know, things like that? If it's not, that's okay. But that's what we were marketed. We were marketed that it was a very competitive, just on the fringe of the NFL league. And I was like, who are they going to call next? Jared Lorenzen? Like, who is going to be the starting quarterback for the teams to come in? I don't know, man. I saw that and I was just floored. Tim Tebow? That's a ticket selling thing. I don't hate it. Don't get me wrong. The Mets are probably going to move Tim Tebow to Major League Baseball in order to sell tickets.
That's disgusting.
Don't you think it's true?
Have you seen the guy's just everything, his stance, the way he plays the game? He stinks.
Tell me it's not true, though.
Oh, it's 100% true.
That's, you know, and that's the way that it goes. But I saw it, and my image of the AAF, it wasn't shattered or anything, like, but it took a hit. It took a hit a little bit when I saw that Tim Tebow in particular was on that list. And then I saw that Colin Kaepernick wanted $20 million to play for the AAF. And it got me wondering what he's asking for when people were talking about, you know, why he doesn't have a job in the NFL. You know, people were saying, oh, he wants too much money. How do you know what he's asking for? Like, well, supposedly he wants $20 million for the AAF. I don't know, but I saw that and my eyebrows went up. I said, this is weird. It's turned into a weird story all of a sudden. 610-632-0975. Dan, sit tight. You're going to be up first. It is the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. Here are a few quick divorce tips that we provide our clients. Number one, don't move out of your house just because your wife tells you to. Remember, that's your house too. And number two, don't blow through the financial statements that you file with the court. These are key exhibits, and they often make or break your case. And number three, watch the social networking. Expect your wife's lawyer to do a thorough online search. And incidentally, this is a two-way street. Now a bonus tip. Partner with your attorney in assembling evidence. You're one of the two leading experts on your life and marriage. Your attorney needs your input to achieve your goals. By the way, unless you're in Missouri or Illinois, I'm not licensed in your state, but that's okay. Our attorneys in your state are.
Contact Cordell & Cordell, the partner men can count on, online at CordellCordell.com. Offices in Philadelphia, Radnor, and Allentown, Pennsylvania, and Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Michelle Ferrari, licensed in New Jersey and Pennsylvania.
Philadelphia, welcome to Save Yourself with Geico.
You say goodbye to somebody.
Okay, bye.
But then, unfortunately, you both walk in the same direction. Oh. You couldn't save yourself from the thick stew of awkward this situation delivers. But you could save yourself hundreds by switching your car insurance to Geico.
Yes.
You could save on motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance, too.
Nice.
Plus, the Geico Insurance Agency could help you save on homeowners and renters insurance.
Oh.
While your choice of walking direction has become your biggest problem, you should know Geico is the second largest auto insurer in the country.
Okay.
Geico even offers 24/7 access to licensed agents and emergency roadside service.
So, weather.
Ah, And now you're resorting to local weather talk. Speaking of, your local GEICO agent could help you save even more.
Ooh.
Like with federal and military discounts.
You couldn't save yourself from a goodbye, oh, hello situation, but you could save yourself hundreds with GEICO online, over the phone, or at your local office.
Texting and rules for recurring marketing messages sent via automatic text message. Terms and conditions at textrules.us. Message and data rates may apply.
Do you have a passion for fitness? What if you could help people live healthier and stronger lives while building a money-making career for yourself? Well, now you can. The ISSA's Personal Trainer Certification Program is the first step to becoming a personal trainer or even becoming a gym owner. And for a limited time, the ISSA is letting you get started on the number one rated certification program absolutely free. That's right, free. Just text TRAINER to 246810 now to get your special link and get started on your certification free. With over 300,000 certification students in 91 countries, ISSA is number one around the world. Being ISSA certified equals success. And ISSA certification means access to great job opportunities, ranging from the best gyms to top sports teams. Just text TRAINER to 246810 now to get your special Get Started link free. Don't wait another day to start your career in fitness. Just text TRAINER to 246810 right now to get started with your ISSA certification for free. Text the word TRAINER to 246810.
If you don't need snow to have an adult snow day, just head to eBay. Whether your idea of fun is binging bad TV under a fuzzy blanket in the Northeast, skateboarding barefoot in SoCal, or strapping on crampons and scaling a 10,000-foot Alaskan glacier, eBay can help you turn a free day into a me day. And make the most of your money shopping eBay deals with our best price guarantee, plus free shipping on millions of items. If it's happening on your adult snow day, it's happening on eBay.
Dietz and Watson invites you to try their brand new snack, Dietz Nuts. They're the world's first ever meat nuts. What are meat nuts? Well, Dietz Nuts aren't nut nuts. They're bite-sized pieces of delicious protein-packed meat nuts made with savory sausage based on a Dietz and Watson's traditional European Landjäger recipe, dried and cured to snackable perfection. Learn more and order online at DietzandWatson.com.
New appliances can do wonders for a kitchen. Right now at the Home Depot, they'll also do wonders for a kitchen budget with up to 30% off appliance special buys. Like the four-piece stainless steel Samsung kitchen suite. Over $2,000 off a fridge, gas range, microwave, dishwasher. All at once, just in time, for dinner. Up to 30% off appliance special buys now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details. Electric range available at extra cost. Valid through February 27th.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Oh, what a great audience. Let's dim the lights for this next one. Oh, too much. Ah, there it is. Gotta get things just right. Like Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay, and we help you find coverage options that fit your budget. And now, the mood is right. Wait, the lights are back on again. Trudy, can you? And now it's completely dark.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The 21st Annual Philadelphia Tattoo Arts Convention is coming this weekend only to the Pennsylvania Convention Center. Get tattooed on site by 1,500 of the world's best tattoo artists. Tickets just $22. Visit villainarts.com. That's villainarts.com.
Sports Talk, Royersford, and all of Montgomery County.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Welcome back to Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. This does sound familiar. In 20 minutes' time, it'll be one more thing. Until then, it's your phone call, 610-632-0975. What do you make of the Markelle Fultz comments regarding Brett Brown? It's pretty much what he said, is that he's looking forward to Orlando's coaches kind of pushing him, as opposed to Brett Brown and the Sixers coaching staff just kind of telling him everything that he wanted to hear. I don't know what I expected to hear from the Markelle Fultz press conference, but this is not it. Dan Allentown's next on The Fanatic. What's up, Dan?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Doing okay. How about you?
Pretty solid.
Good.
Real quick on the new football league.
Yeah.
You were talking about it. I think Kaepernick's kind of stupid for not at least signing some deal with them, because you know how desperate the NFL teams get. Come the off season next year, you know, if they see what he did in this league, and you know,
well, Kareem Hunt just got signed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like,
yeah,
teams
exactly.
Are starting to make some decisions.
Exactly. So, and you know, like, if a team gets a little desperate, you know, they might say, oh, you know, we can kind of forget the whole the kneeling during the anthem thing and all that.
Sure.
You know?
I mean, Eric Reed just got an extension. So, like, here's the thing. Like, I think that in Colin Kaepernick's case, I don't know if I'd call it stupid, but I think if he is truly set on playing in the NFL again, it would be an ideal situation to sign on with one of these teams, because then the NFL gets to see what the reaction is and everything else. I mean, it's exactly. a testing ground. So I think that it would have been a good decision.
Yeah. And jumping over to the Sixers.
Yes.
I want to say, like, I try to be the biggest realist there is with the Sixers this year. Cause there's so many people that just want to, you know, say, oh, they're going, you know, oh, they're the best team ever. But
right.
I really appreciate what you said earlier when you were talking about how Brett Brown's got to find, as far as toying with, the lineups and everything and, what works and what doesn't. Because their record is going to be really important coming, the playoffs, as far as a home court advantage
sure.
and all that. Because, if I read it correctly, they're 1-7 against the top three teams in the East right now.
Is that true? Yeah, I know they're 1-7 against Boston in their last eight, so that wouldn't surprise me either.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculously off, like against Toronto, Milwaukee. I read it somewhere either today or yesterday, and Boston. But the thing is that. What I was thinking is these teams are coming in here like just absolutely brimming with confidence, knowing that they can beat us on our home court even. So we need every little advantage we can possibly get,
yeah.
I feel, against these teams. They don't see, oh, Tobias Harris and all this. They're not thinking that. They're just knowing what they already did to us this year, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Well, and Dan, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it, man. That is what I pointed out too, like saying that, oh yeah, all those records exist. But the other side of that coin is Tobias Harris and Boban and these other guys weren't a part of that, you know, bad stretch. Yeah, Jimmy Butler's still there, but to be honest with you, and we haven't even talked about this because of all the other new additions, I still think that they're kind of finding their way with Jimmy Butler. Like, they're rounding into form and it's looking better, but there's still some time before, you know, this is still dress rehearsal. Make no mistake about it. It's an important dress rehearsal in terms of home court advantage and everything else. But the playoffs are it. So if they don't have it figured out by then, how are you going to figure out your five with Tobias Harris, J.J. Redick, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and Jimmy Butler? If you can't make that group play nice by the playoffs, then you're going to have some serious issues. And that's where the problems of, oh, you didn't give yourself enough options, you didn't give yourself enough of an opportunity to push things into the future, you're loading up all in, what if these guys walk away? Full disclosure, I'd be stunned if both of those guys walked. If Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler at least one of them is going to be back. At least one of them is going to be back. And if the other one's not back, then you have space and room to sign somebody else if you want to. But this thing's not going to be a one and done. The Sixers are completely blown up and you're going to have to rebuild from ground zero again. But I think they have the ability to do something pretty special this year. Are they the favorites? Are they a shoo-in? I don't think so. And when you look at Milwaukee, like I said, who I think is a death team, I truly do. I think Milwaukee is going to be a very difficult team for a lot of people to get by in a 7-game series. You got Kawhi Leonard, fresh off of his new commercial, which we'll talk about in just a moment. And the other obvious team is Boston, which the Sixers have plenty of familiarity with when it comes to the Celtics and everything else. I think that you do have your work cut out for you. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're doomed and it's a fatalistic approach, because you're better equipped to deal with the challenge than you were in the past. Let's talk about this this Kawhi Leonard New Balance basketball commercial. Tyler, did you see this by any chance? You have any
idea? I have not yet, no.
Okay. The premise is that Kawhi Leonard doesn't do stuff that other superstars do. Okay, so this is literally a superstar smear campaign by Kawhi Leonard and New Balance. So in the ad, Kawhi Leonard tells us that he doesn't chase fouls, that he doesn't sweat the comments section. Like, he was full on going at everybody. I'm like, if you're literally pointing out James Harden and his affinity for drawing fouls, or pointing out, say, Kevin Durant's, you know, propensity to read the comment section, says he doesn't need your cameras, doesn't need your hot takes. It kind of sounds a little bit like LeBron James. I mean, this was, I mean, more than even the Kawhi Leonard laugh. This was something that I thought, whoa. I love it. I am more Team Kawhi every single day. I can't believe that it's turned into, like, there's something that a guy that I follow on Twitter, Rob Perez, Worldwide Wob, really good NBA follow, would recommend. But one of his favorite things about the NBA is the petty wars and the battles between players being petty. It doesn't get any pettier than taking it to a full-on advertising campaign against your opponents and your rivals. Nicely done by Kawhi Leonard. Tyler, if you were going to have an advertising campaign against people at 97.5 The Fanatic,
get me in trouble.
Okay.
No.
I'll leave you out of that. You're off the hook.
I can't do it.
Probably a wise choice. 6-1. That's for the Between the Break show that Devon Givens and I consistently advertise. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. On Twitter, it's at Joe Torti at 97.5 The Fanatic. Coming up, by the way, we're just about 10 minutes time now. I'm going to call it 13 minutes. It'll be one more thing, plus more of your phone calls, 610-632-0975. John L. tweets in about Markelle Fultz. Most scouts did think he was very good coming out of college, but there must have been something, I don't know what, but something that many experts missed about him. Did the Sixers really do enough homework on him? That's the real question. John, and this is what I've said to people who've asked me about this, because as I've pointed out, I'm not a scout, but I am the father of an infant. Or I guess a toddler now at this point.
Pretty much the same thing.
How time flies. Yeah, for my sleep schedule, pretty much the same thing. And on top of that, I'm a college basketball junkie. So I was Mr. Pac-12 after dark. You give me a New Mexico State, Washington State game, I'm locked in. Washington playing UCLA, you bet. Joe is watching in real time. I knew exactly who Markelle Fultz was. I watched a lot of Markelle Fultz in college. I saw the way that he moved. I saw the way that he shot. I don't want to speak for scouts or executives or GMs or teams or anybody else. What I saw from Markelle Fultz suggested to me that there would be no issues whatsoever in terms of him becoming a good pro. I didn't think that he had the ceiling of some of the other guys who had come before him in previous draft classes. I didn't think that he had the potential to be a big-time player like I thought both Ben Simmons and Brandon Ingram could be. Certainly not the ceiling of Joel Embiid. I didn't even know if he was Andrew Wiggins in terms of his ceiling as a pro player. But I thought he had no problem being an effective pro for a long time. What I will say, and what I think that scouts and executives and people who are in the personnel departments in the NBA would say, is the player that you saw at Washington was not the same guy once he got to Summer League, and that guy was different than the guy who ended up playing for the Philadelphia 76ers in the regular season. Hard to just say that something should have popped up on the radar that said that. Maybe they should have. Maybe there was an underlying injury. Maybe it's a personality thing. I don't know what it is. But if they missed it, I missed it too. 610-632-0975. Final segment is coming your way next. It is the Joe Torti Show, taking you up until midnight right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell.
At Cordell & Cordell, we encourage our clients to participate, to recognize how essential their role in this process is. They've got to be willing to help us help them. And by working jointly in a sort of partnership, we're more likely to get the best possible outcome for our clients. And that's really the standard that our clients can fairly hold us to, is what is the best possible outcome for them. So clients who are facing divorce need to recognize that for them to succeed, they need a partnership between them and their attorney. By the way, unless you're in Missouri or Illinois, I'm not licensed in your state, but that's okay. Our attorneys in your state are.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Philadelphia area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 215-490-9999. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in Philadelphia, Radnor, and Allentown, Pennsylvania, and Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Michelle Ferrari, licensed in New Jersey and Pennsylvania.
Springtime is almost here. It's the perfect time to tackle the next job on your list. And AutoZone has the free services to help you do it. Like our free Fix Finder service. If your check engine light is on, our Fix Finder service can help troubleshoot the real problem, saving you time and money down the road. Want help from a pro? We can help with that too. Keep your engine running clean. Buy one STP Super Concentrated Fuel Injector Cleaner and get one free. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
You don't need snow to have an adult snow day. Just head to eBay. Whether your idea of fun is binging bad TV under a fuzzy blanket in the Northeast, skateboarding barefoot in SoCal, or strapping on crampons and scaling a 10,000-foot Alaskan glacier, eBay can help you turn a free day into a me day. And make the most of your money shopping eBay deals with our best price guarantee, plus free shipping on millions of items. If it's happening on your adult snow day, it's happening on eBay.
Lowe's knows you do it right by looking for deals on new appliances because you work too hard for your money not to. We do it right, too, by saving you $600 on a GE stackable washer and dryer pair with Steam Clean. Find deals on new kitchen appliances, too, with up to 35% off select appliance special values on refrigerators, ranges, and more. When it's time for new appliances, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 227. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
Geico presents eyewitness interviews with inanimate objects.
This is Brian Bruno live on the scene of a recent windstorm. Here to describe the event, a chest of drawers.
There's a storm howling outside, so I thought I'd stay in and watch a rom-com. 5 minutes into the flick, a tree branch slams through the window.
Were you hurt?
I just got a scratch on my chest.
Your chest of drawers can't help you in a windstorm, but the Geico Insurance Agency can help you get covered for personal property damage. Call Geico to see how affordable homeowners insurance can be.
Attention. If you're in debt to the IRS and frustrated with your options, for a limited time, you can call and quickly check your eligibility for the Fresh Start programs offered by the IRS to reduce or even eliminate your tax problem. Through this special toll-free hotline number, you can find out in minutes if you qualify for these powerful new debt reduction programs green-lighted by the IRS for 2019. If you have unfiled tax returns, under audit, have a wage or bank levy, or just want to know your options, business or personal, Republic Tax Relief's A-plus rated tax relief system has helped thousands stop IRS collections immediately and saved millions in tax debt. These relief programs will not last forever. Call the hotline number now, 800-920-2937. That's 800-920-2937. Check your eligibility for tax debt savings today. Call 800-920-2937. That's 800-920-2937.
Hi, I'm Gary Barbera.
Wait, I'm Gary Barbera. And we approve this message.
Yo! The hottest new SUV at the auto show. You saw it, now buy it at Barbera.
A GT Cherokee Latitude 4x4.
Oh, mama.
$199 a month.
Gary Barbera has
300 Jeeps cheap.
And for Ram Truck Month,
200 discounted Dodges and Rams.
Zero down.
That's the lowdown on the no-down.
300 Jeeps cheap.
Starring the new GT Cherokee Latitude 4x4.
Come and get it today.
For $199 a month.
300 Jeeps cheap.
And easy auto credit. Just come and get it.
Philadelphia. Credit connection.
It's official.
Gary Barbera has GT Cherokee Latitude 4x4
for $199 a month.
Is Barbera's on the boulevard the best? Boy, I guess.
$199 a month. It's a 36-month, 10K mileage release. The world qualified with $34.99 down, including first payment.
The hottest new SUV at the auto show. You saw it, now buy it at Barbera.
The GT Cherokee Latitude 4x4.
Hello.
$199 a month.
Join Jason Mertedis and the Fanatic this Friday from 5 to 7 to celebrate the grand opening of the new Philadelphia Xfinity Retail Store at 4640 Roosevelt Boulevard. And meet Flyers mascot Gritty from 6 to 7. An Xfinity Retail Store is the best place to discover what's new at Xfinity and try out all the latest products. Simple, easy, awesome. Watch Farzetta and Trey on Twitch. Follow 97.5 The Fanatic on Twitch.tv for Farzetta and Trey's post-show showcast. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back. Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Coming up in 5 minutes, it'll be One More Thing. Until then, it's your tweets, your phone calls, and of course, plenty of Tyler Zuli, who's producing behind the glass, doing a tremendous job as he does. 610-632-0975. At DHawk43 tweets, and why is Kaepernick stupid for asking for that amount of money when we knew that they would be signing him in, when we know that they would be signing him as a draw for people to watch? They'd make money. Why not him? First of all, I didn't say that he was stupid. Somebody else said that he was stupid. A caller did. But the simple answer is that the Alliance of American Football doesn't have that money. They don't have $20 million to give anybody. The players are on three-year, $250,000 contracts. What I said was that if Kaepernick was focused, if he really wanted to get back into the NFL, then he should do this. Clearly, there's an NFL interest in this league. Clearly, you know, he should have signed if that's what he wanted to do, because, you know, holding out and waiting for a job hasn't worked to this point. So if he wants to play in the NFL, this is probably a way in. And yeah, he would be a draw for people to watch, but here's the thing. It's the league doesn't need any single player in order to make anybody watch. For all of the talk and the discussion that the NBA is overtaking the NFL and it's going to be more popular than the NFL, the Alliance of American Football drew more viewers head-to-head than Rockets Thunder.
Like, do you think that's a first week thing, though?
It's possible.
And like,
it's
the numbers will dip?
And there was a dip when the game was on NFL Network as opposed to CBS, which is, you know,
well, sure,
broadcast.
It's one of the three you can get for free.
Yep. But I think it also says that ABC is where the basketball was. I mean, and that's a premier matchup for the NBA. Literally, I don't mean this disparagingly. I mean this matter-of-factly. Like, picture a team of, like, in the defensive backfield that's like five Devontae Bosbys. Like, that was the caliber of talent across the league in the AAF.
I think he played, didn't he?
He did.
Okay.
Yeah, he absolutely
That wasn't a coincidence you brought that name up.
No, exactly. Okay. Yeah, not a coincidence. The one first rounder in the entire league is Trent Richardson. The one first rounder, period, in the entire league. And they got more viewers than a big time NBA game. Is it going to drop off eventually? Probably. Like, you know, but it's not the same as when the XFL had a massive debut, when the WWE and NBC and everybody were pumping this up as this is going to revolutionize sports. And then people watch and they're like, oh, it's football with a couple cool bells and whistles, and it's bad football. And then they stopped watching. Like, that's not, the AAF has kind of come up, you know, in spite of itself in a lot of ways. Like, there hasn't been this massive marketing campaign. It's just been kind of like, hey, by the way, there's this new spring league that's coming out. You know, maybe check it out. Like, that's kind of been the way it is. My point is that I don't think that they need anybody, whether it's Johnny Manziel or Colin Kaepernick or Tim Tebow, or I don't think they need anybody to make people watch. So, I mean, that's a part of that. He's well within his rights to ask for whatever he wants to ask for from any team. But, I mean, as of now, he's getting $0 from those teams. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Tyler, you look thoughtful for a moment. You're about to say something?
No, I was just going to make a snarky comment about Trent Richardson. That's really all it was.
Oh, please, please. Those are always welcome here
on
this program.
It's just, you go back to that picture where he runs into the line. Have you ever seen that picture?
I have.
The hole, I mean, is gaping. Like, you and I would have scored a touchdown on that play.
Affirmative. Yep. And he took the difficult road to travel. Maybe he was just having a bad day. Maybe that was the worst day in his career, for all we know. Which leads us neatly, actually, into one more thing here. for those who those of us who, you know, work or whatever, we've all pictured or maybe even had nightmares. This is mine. I always have nightmares about not performing at work. So my most common nightmare is being late, like that I missed my alarm and that 9 o'clock goes and the Joe Torti show intro plays and there's just no one there in the chair. I'm sitting there at home. And then the other one is like, you know, when the light comes on and it's time to talk and just gibberish comes out and I just do nothing. Those are like my two like work related stress nightmares. Reality was not as kind to Ben DiArmond, who had a debut to remember on the web.com tour golfing. One hole that he will never forget. The par 4 second hole on Thursday, hole number 2 of the Suncoast Classic, he scored a 17 on this hole. Now, bear in mind, he's the head pro at TPC Treviso Bay in Naples. 491-yard second hole. Drove it into the water. Then he tried to clear the water twice from the rough and failed. Went back to the tee, hit one into the water a fourth time, and then found the water twice more from the rough before he finally reached the fairway. That added up to a 17. Tyler, this is going to make you throw up. DiArmond wound up with a 91. How in the world does that happen? You shoot a 17 on the second hole, and you still end up with a 91. By the way, I'm not good at golf by any stretch, but my best round ever is a 90. That's my best round. This guy shot a 17 on one hole and shot a 91.
So he shot a 74 on 17 holes, which is probably plus two the rest of the way.
I believe that is what happened. He shot pars and then
that's pretty darn good.
Two bogeys. Really, really good. And I thought that it was interesting that he had something to say about it by the end. He said, if you learn anything from me today, it's don't withdraw, don't give up, have fun with it. It's a game. Everybody has a bad day, a bad hole, even the worst hole of your life. So you have to move on. Even his dad called him Roy. For Roy McAvoy for Tin Cup when he's hitting the ball into the water over and over again. But there you go. He said had a good back nine, made it through it, get back tomorrow.
Well, you know what honestly the worst part about it is if you have a bad hole in like hole 12.
Yeah.
You know, I've had 11 good holes, let's make it the last five are good.
It's number two.
Can you imagine teeing off and then you're on the second hole and your day just goes to you know what?
How do you recover from that? You talk about that mental toughness to be able to pull that together. Yeah, at what point do you just like be like, my back?
And I probably have shot a 17 before.
Have you?
Because I'm too stubborn. I'm not the kind of guy that's going to pick his ball up.
Okay,
I'm just too stubborn.
I play with a lot of those guys. I don't like that.
Oh, just give me an 8. Yeah, you're on 8. You're 208 yards away still.
Yeah, what's double par? A 6 on a par 3? Going to shoot 12, bro. But good job on that guy to recover. 17 on the second hole. Not easy. AJ in Center City's up next on The Fanatic. What's up, AJ?
How's it going? I know you were talking about this a little while ago, and I had to go away for a minute, but if we're talking about, you know, when we're talking about Major League Baseball teams, small cap versus large cap.
Sure.
Listen, the owners of these teams and the valuations they're getting and the multiples they're getting, they are making money, and the teams are being worth more and more. They're just not incentivized to spend because they don't have to. I think Major League Baseball needs to do, like, listen, if you want to get revenue share, if you want to do this, you have to spend money and make your team competitive. But I don't think it has, unless I totally misunderstood what you were talking about, I don't think it has anything to do with the players. The team's valuations are so high, they need to spend the money. And they're just not wanting to spend an extra $50 million because they want to put that in the owner's pocket. They're being smart as a baseball-owning franchise, but they're hurting baseball. It's not the players that are doing it.
No. I'm not saying that the players are hurting baseball. I'm saying that nobody is doing anything that they're not allowed to do in terms of the players holding out for the big-time money and the owners not giving it to them. Now, if it's a bad CBA and things need to be renegotiated or whatever into the future, that's a different conversation. But I think that the kind of rhetoric that's being thrown out now from the players being like the owners are ruining baseball and they're the reason why Manny Machado and Bryce Harper aren't signing. I just think that's silly.
What do you think this one of the solutions could be?
I think to deal
with this issue.
Well, I think that, like you said, AJ, if you have the idea that a team has to be incentivized to partake in revenue sharing by reaching a salary floor, I think that if you penalize teams for failing to eclipse certain win margins over an extended period of time, I think all of those things could potentially be solutions. But once again, all of those would need to be collectively bargained, and they're not just, you know, going to fall out of the sky.
Yeah, totally agree. Well, anyway, great show.
Thank you, AJ. Appreciate it. You too, man. Appreciate you checking back in. All right, that's going to wrap things up. Thanks to everybody who called and tweeted in. My co-host for this evening, Tyler Zuli, did a tremendous job producing. Thank you very much, Tyler. I will talk to you guys on Monday. Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you then. Joe Torti saying so long from 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.